This is the 1895 Podcast, official podcast of Shelburne FC, bringing you news, views and interviews from inside Tolka Park, Dublin's finest since 1895. Here's your host, Stephen Duty.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the 1895 Podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne Football Club. As always, we're brought to you by Go Loud. Go Loud is the home of Irish podcasts. And as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Ben Cleary. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Duty. How are we?
You know, somebody from within the club does a very good impression of you, Ben, doing that.
I have been told that someone has decided to add to their I'm Darren Cleary repertoire and has added me onto it, so I kind of wear that as a badge of honour, I think.
Yeah, actually, that's a good time to mention. I heard somebody a few weeks back saying that they thought they recognised Darren's voice. And I don't think they realise where it's from. That he was there, I'm Darren Cleary. He used to read the news on, was it 98FM?
98FM for about 10 years, yeah, the better part of a decade.
There you go. So to that person, that's why you know his voice. Because he was the voice coming in your ears very regularly, reading out the news.
I think it bodes well for me that I have a catchphrase, and it's just, hello in your name, printed on a t-shirt.
Yeah, not much of a blatant catchphrase. Need something better.
Like, all right, thanks. For
rebashing.
Not over rebashing, yeah.
That will come. The time will come on this pod.
For merch?
For some good old-fashioned referee bashing.
Ah, good, good.
Yeah, it's what the people want to hear. Ben, a six-point weekend. If for some reason it feels like forever ago that happened. It's obviously not, but it felt that way. But nice to get back to winning ways on both fronts.
Yeah, I think it's nice to get back to a bit of normality. And I think we're a bit spoiled. It's kind of what you expect of the Reds, both men's and women, to be coming away with six-point weekends. And probably shows how far we've come on both fronts, but it's good to be back.
It is obviously a massive game coming this week for Damien Duff's side. It's away to Pats. This thing with Pats is getting very strange. They're starting to go way, way up the pecking order, in my opinion, in terms of a team that everyone seems to hate.
It's just because they're loud, they're annoying. There's just something there that's so unlikable. And I'm not saying it stems from their manager, but like,
I would always lean on the thing that if you're basing, like, your counter argument to everything is, we've never been relegated. I mean, that's not great, in my opinion. We'll come to Pats. Let's start with Friday, Ben. Massive 3 points in the the Sligo grounds, in the showgrounds in Sligo.
Yeah, as
ground one now.
Yeah, as the announcer said, he called us our old rivals from Dublin is what he announced us as, and I was like, Jesus, we have a big rivalry with Sligo. But thinking back on it, we kind of do, and it felt like that in the game. Like, it was a very, very lively game. Like, fans are up for minute one. Like, from both sides, I think away support, like, from us, absolutely incredible. It was a real, like, it was a grinding out of that result. It was a real proper Shelburne performance where, look, it mightn't be pretty all the time, but it's 3 points and it's effective.
That's pretty much a nail on the head. The quick start, I don't think anyone's seen that coming. I was confident Friday morning in work, thinking about the game before we travelled down. And then as the day went on, there was rumours floating around that basically most of the starting back four had been seen in a car driving to the showgrounds. And then the starting 11 came out. It's never a good sign, Ben, when you're sitting there trying to work out what way we're playing.
Yeah,
like the personnel that's there.
I think when you see, like, we obviously, it's a bit different for us because we're obviously actually doing the team sheets in the car as we go. as soon as kind of they're available to us. And it left you very awkwardly because you're sitting there waiting and you're hearing names. You're like, who's starting, please? What, yeah. Someone just tell me.
Yeah, it's whatever you do, don't practice your Spanish counting while somebody is trying to fill out a team sheet. Because I believe it puts them off pretty badly.
Yeah, so beauty journalism is to practice is uno, dos, traces when we were double checking the team sheet, because that's how mistakes happen.
Yeah, so if there ever is a mistake on a team sheet, it's probably because I was putting off the person that was doing the team sheet. It's generally what seems to happen. But I get this weird giddy energy on the way to games where I'm fine for a while, usually after the petrol stop.
Once you've fueled up both the car and yourself.
Yeah, with Monster and other such things. Pizza. The quick start, Ben, that's well... Nothing wrong with Papa John's, tell you that now for a fact. Although we've gone to those services in, where was it?
Kinnegad
twice, and they made a balls of the order twice. So I don't know whether they did it on purpose or what, but yeah, not ideal. But look, we're meandering here, Ben. Yeah.
Quick start.
It was, I don't think anyone's seen that quick a start coming. You know you need to start those away games well to give yourself a chance, but doesn't really get much better than that, does it?
That's probably, look, cliche, dream start, but it is. It's and something we're kind of accustomed to from the start of the year, where you're starting games and you're getting goals earlier and like, oh, hold on. We're going to do something here. And it kind of felt like that. Like, I just felt maybe before the break, compared to now, the intensity levels from Friday night were way, way up. Like, the pressing was so aggressive, the tackles, everything in that opening 15 to 20 minutes was just, you just went at them. Like, Sligo, unfortunately, became the architects of their own demise.
They did. And we actually arrived at the game a little bit later than obviously what we'd be the time we'd arrive for home games. And something that, now I could be totally off the mark with this, because we're usually quite busy on a match day, but the manager was kind of going around during the warm-up and he was G'ing people up and he was kind of in the middle of the warm-up, which I'm pretty sure that's something new. Like, I don't remember him seeing him do that in Talca. He usually does his Jurgen Klopp. Well, he did last year, where he'd kind of stand and watch the opposition for a while and he'd be having to do his interviews and stuff, but he seemed more... I don't know. Maybe it's just something different, keeping people on their toes or whatever, but it certainly worked. It was interesting as well. Go on, sorry.
Sorry, I was just going to say, I just feel like everyone was up for it a little bit more. And I think the manager alluded to it in his interview, maybe John in his, where it was like, it had the energy of a Dublin derby, where they were just, there was a fire there, there was a fight, there was a desire. It just felt like, you could put anything in their way, they're running straight through it. Brick wall, grand, run through it. And I know people are going to look and say, didn't seem like that performance-wise. They're sitting back a little bit, defending the lead. That's what we're built on. You have to remember that.
That's where we've come from. That's kind of our bread and butter. I think the manager alluded to it in his post-match that, like, did we deserve to win the game on the football performance? Ugh, there's definitely an argument to be had. But in terms of just grit and determination, there was no question.
From everyone on the pitch, like, the lads worked their bollocks off, and I don't think there's a lot of arguments against that.
No, there's not. But that quick start, like, I always find, see when a striker like that nicks in and kind of capitalises on a back pass, I always would think in my head it's a bit fortunate, like, you know, yeah, you've been lucky with like a shit back pass or whatever. But it was interesting when I spoke to John Martin after the game for his interview, he mentioned that was something they'd kind of put their finger on, that, you know, Sligo could be a little bit loose with going back to their keeper. And sure enough, John announced the keeper and I was delighted for him.
Yeah.
He obviously hasn't started as much as he'd probably like to, but and I think he's just one of them fellas, isn't he? You want the best for him.
Absolutely. I think he's just lovely fella, and especially after rookie hasn't really got a bit of luck this season. He's had the the one really good chance again with the open goal, and he got a bit of unnecessary flack. I think it's a bit unnecessary stick for that, being like, geez, put it anywhere and it goes in. But he definitely didn't make any mistakes with this one, and really, really good finish. I think he played really well. His pressing was, the man just doesn't stop running.
No, he doesn't. This goes back to the farmer in him, Ben. That's what I'm that's what I'm sure of. I mentioned before, I could see him out Rocky-esque training, throwing hay bales around, punching cow hides, the whole lot. That's what I picture John Martin as being. And also a mention for John Martin's hands.
Reggie-itis.
It's just, don't know, what was it he had? There's a name for it, he said.
He did say there was a name for it. I can't remember what he said. But I've never seen a man, like, apart from, I think it was Sean Boyd and Derry, I've never seen a man as cold.
But he didn't look cold. He just looked like he was frostbitten on his fingers. Fucking very bizarre. Very, very strange.
He did say that the showers in the dressing room were cold as well, so maybe they...
Oh, yeah, of course they were. But now, John's overall play was brilliant. He held the ball up so well. There were some great little passes between him and Meepo.
Yeah.
Just Meepo either flicking balls on for him or John trapping it and dropping it off for Meepo. I actually thought the two lads worked really well together. They'll probably play together again on Friday, I would have thought. Because Boydie, of course, is suspended after that yellow. And it's typical, like, Boydie goes out of his way to come on when, as the manager said in the post-match, he is carrying a knock. But the manager looked at him and said, look, Sean, are you ready to go? And he was adamant, yeah, I'm fine. Put me in there. Throwing his body on the line, and then he ends up getting the yellow that keeps him out of Pat's like, away. There's no real justice in the world, is there?
There's definitely not justice for Boydie anyway. As we've so often put, but we were right beside the dugout, we were right behind it. And we are fortunate enough to hear it. Like, he was so eager to come on. He's like, yeah, no, ready to go. And I think the manager said it before, if he's going to war, he wants the big man. And Boydie stepped up again when probably didn't have to. Like, he could have turned around and said, no, I can't. I'm carrying a knock. He could have stayed in the bench, but he didn't.
I think that's so early in the season as well. I think, and that, look, that wouldn't be a knock on a player. Like, if a player was to say, look, I don't think I'm fully right, I actually think it's quite responsible of a player to say, look, I'm probably not right to go in, but he was adamant.
It probably just shows the character of Boydie as a person and what he do for the team. Like, he's only going to put himself in harm's way for the betterment of the team, and I think it shows as well what the players are willing to do for the manager.
Absolutely. I mean, that's, if there was any, I remember I interviewed Ali Coote after, was that the Cork? Yeah, it was the Cork game, and he was very, like, it's just not us. That's not what we're about. You know, it's our character. It's not what we want to be doing on a weekly basis. Like, whereas Friday felt like, this is what it's about.
Like, strip it back to basics, do what we do and do it well. And, like, look, people want to strip things back and say we're without a win in four, and they want to look at things. We went into that game with one centre half.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't even talked about starting 11 yet.
And look, that's no, like, knock on Cam. Obviously, he's come into that position and he's absolutely excelled. He's been absolutely brilliant. Beside Paddy, he's done, look, replacing Gavin Malloy is never, ever going to be an easy thing. And he's done it so well to where, you know, I'm not saying you don't hear Gav's name anymore, but it makes the loss an awful lot easier. So that's not saying Cam's not done an incredible job at centre-half. It's just not his natural position. So you go in and back three, back five, you have Cam, Lewis Temple and Mark Coyle. Like, not saying they're not going to do a great job, but it's just a bit thrown together. And fair play to the lads, because none of them looked out of place at all. Like,
no, you wouldn't have looked at any of those players and thought they were playing out of position. Now, I know obviously two of them weren't, probably more so Coyler would have been the one who, there is actually a, it was Aaron on Instagram had said, lads, there needs to be particular praise for Mark Coyle after that performance. Yeah. Real captain's gig, not his normal position, probably felt a bit uncomfortable, but wouldn't have known any different if you were watching us for the first time.
But we said it pod before the game, like, Coyler is a must start no matter where you get him on the pitch, because again, he just kind of brings you up to his level, I think, where it's like, here, well, if he's going to run through fucking everyone, I'm going to run through everyone.
Yeah, it's that whole thing of, right, I'm going, are you coming with me or not? And it all goes back, I think this whole thing around Mark Coyle started with drawing it away. Remember the game when he scored the goal, but just willed the running goal through everyone?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like that was the start of the kind of, right, this fella's a proper skipper. Something we've been blessed with, considering who was the captain beforehand. That I remember that being a huge concern for me. I was like, we need to get this captaincy right, because
it's a make, like, or break kind of thing.
And yeah, yeah.
Even, look, we are very fortunate. We did get a little bit of notice, and we did do the interview with Coyler when he was announced as captain. After that first interview, when Coyler had left, we all just turned to each other and said, that is a Shelbourne captain.
Yeah, I remember. I think I turned around. I think it was you. I turned around and just said, "Well, we'd be all right with him." Like, he just seemed to.
He gets it. He just 100% gets it.
Yeah, I think the core of that group kind of does. Like, you look at the likes of, like, say, Connor Cairns, JJ, Coyler, Boydie, Pat Barrett. Like, they all seem to just. That seems to be the core of it. And I mean, look, we got this far. I haven't mentioned Kerry McEnroy yet.
Yeah, but I think it probably shows that the levels of performances from everyone. Like, you haven't mentioned Evan Caffrey either.
Oh.
Like, it's, you haven't mentioned Chuck. There's a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot. Team of the week. Team of the week for Chuck this week. Himself and Kerry McEnroy.
Well deserved, because he busted his bollocks running up and down the line.
Yes. See what happens when I put me on my team, Ben.
And you know what I will say? When that ball goes through for Kerr and he kind of loses control of it and he does shift it on to Chuck, you're like, oh, now he's squandered this chance. But yeah, he ended up with an even better goal than what he would have got.
He did, and it was funny because Kerr had a little taster just before that. He had a very similar shot that the keeper saved. But that little pass, little kind of cutback from Chuck, that's really impressive, because when I watched it back, it's obviously hard at the time watching the game, especially because of where we were. It was a fairly shy view. But
he does.
You're just waiting. Like, how many left-backs would have just flashed that across the goal or would have just swung a boot at it to take a shot? And he just had to... The wherewithal, little cutback, and an amazing finish.
But you see it in the actual play. John Martin does really well to win the ball, gets it across the car, little slide pass into Chuck, who made the run, and it's just, he kind of gets the head up real quick, just a little scan, he gets the ball straight back to him. It's an unbelievable finish.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I agree.
And I think the manager said it in his post-match. It's great for Kerr to get on the score sheet because he's been our best player this season.
Oh, without a doubt.
He's just... It's the consistency levels. It's the quality he brings on the pitch. The work ethic. Like, he just seems to have got it straight away. The same with Chuck as well. As he's come into the starting lineup, like, he's just gets it.
Yeah, we actually had a message off Eric saying, has Kerr McEnroy been the signing of the season? League-wide, forget about Shells.
I mean, it's very... Who are you going to argue against?
Well, that's what I was going to say. Nobody else is really jumping off the page.
Ed McGinty, huh?
Oh, Jesus Christ. He's erratic. Erratic, to say the least. But it did feel like just rewards for Kerr to get the goal, because he's gone close in pretty much every game so far.
Yeah, and he's had one or two shots and a keeper just gets to it, or it's just a little bit over. He's just not got kind of that little bit of luck, but yeah, he's got it.
And I found it fascinating that he was probably the least fanfare signing we made in as long as I can remember. He just kind of, I remember seeing somebody saying, this bald fella started in one of the friendlies and he's out of this world. And, you know, you kind of worry. It's like, yeah, it was a friendly, like, don't start running away with ourselves. But he's just been incredible. He's hardly put a foot wrong.
And I will say, I think it's gotten to the point now where people don't have to say he's the bald fella that looks like Mark Coyle. Like, he's Kerr McEnroy. Give him his own name.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's
fair. I think we're gone past it now. He's made his own name for himself anyway.
I think as well, particular praise for Evan Caffrey. Yeah. He can do everything. He really can. He's as well-rounded a player as I've seen playing with Shells. There's nothing he can't do.
He's just a Swiss Army knife of a player. You need him up front to knock a few balls onto someone, great. You need him in behind to play a few in, great. You need him at the back, brilliant. He'll do it. I think the only position he hasn't played for us is probably goalkeeper.
Because
I'm pretty sure he's played in every other position. And again, that's another one that went under the radar when he was signed. People were like, oh yeah, we signed a fella from UCD, fair enough.
But in fairness, from day one, the manager has talked Evan Caffrey up an awful lot. He's obviously known him since he was a kid. He was the captain of Duffer's underage teams. Like, so it's one he really kind of hung his hat on.
But it's deserved praise. Like, you'll
know. It's not token stuff. Like,
yeah, no, it's well deserved. It's not even deserved. I think deserved is even the wrong word. It's earned. He's earned every bit of praise because he has been outstanding this season. It was really important last season. And I think even just before that, when he came into the season, he did obviously go off with, he had the injury, wasn't it, in the off season, just the season before last. And people were maybe saying his performances weren't at the level. He's playing through an injury.
Yeah, that was something I only learned when the season was over, that he was struggling through the end of that season.
And like, I think, look, Harry deserves an awful lot of credit for that night up in Derry, but Evan Caffrey makes a wonderful tackle down the other end.
Yeah. Oh, he's
the tail end of that game. I think, look, he's our top scorer this season, you have to remember. And I don't think he started two games in a row in the same position.
No. And I was concerned, not concerned, but it was one of the things I looked at, like when I seen there starting 11. Like, Fitzgerald and Hutchinson are very, very good. Like, we had a great view of Reece Hutchinson in that first half. He put some amazing deliveries into the box. Yeah. But it was more so, if we had a natural right-sided centre-back or a natural, quote-unquote, full-back there, I wouldn't have been so worried. But with the two lads kind of not being overly familiar with their positions, if you like, that being Coyler and Evan Caffrey, I was kind of saying, oh, this could be trouble, but lads dealt with it really well. We gave up a few chances down that side, but you always will with players of that quality. You're always going to give something up. And I actually think John Russell did us a favour by taking Hutchinson off. He took Hutchinson off and he put on, who was the lad he brought on up front? He basically changed the shape. Francie Lomboto, that's who it was. And he went with the extra body up front and he took Hutchinson off. I actually think that helped us.
Yeah, they kind of lost that little bit of attacking flair, weirdly enough, from a defender.
They did. Somebody else who impressed was actually Jad. And in a weird way, I was quite not happy, but I was like...
Ah, you would be you'd be happy for him, yeah.
Yeah, he's a really inoffensive kind of fella, Jad. He was riddled with injuries while he was with us, really. But nice to see him doing well. Hopefully he doesn't do anything against us, but he had one chance, he flashed one, he kind of, it was a real FIFA finesse shot job from the edge of the box, just went wide of the post, so I was glad to see that one go wide. The last one, Ben, for particular praise, it's actually John O'Sullivan when he came on, because he has had little to no football this season. He's obviously injured and he's playing catch up. He done an awful lot of important just dog work when he came on, and easy for a fella to, I don't know, drag himself around a little bit coming into a game like that, but did well, helped us to get over the line, and a good old fashioned rear guard win. That was the bit I enjoyed the most. Keepers coming up into the box, balls getting flung into the box, shades of Derry away last year, and we just see now. Very, are they the most satisfying wins, do you think?
Yeah.
Like, give me that over 3-0 any day of the week.
Oh, yeah. Especially when you see the afters and you see grown men crying, getting annoyed over it and throwing their toys out of their pram. Like, it's just hook it to the veins. That and Evan Caffrey in the 90-odd minute in Shakur.
Yes.
That's what dreams are made of.
Actually, that... I don't know how to bring this one up, but the manager took particular stick in Sligo for whatever reason. We were sitting right behind the dugout, so like you kind of hear everything. Some of the worst abuse I've ever... Yeah. And I don't mean worst as in like that's vile, that's a horrible thing to say to somebody. Just bad stick. Like my six-year-old daughter could give more of a roasting than some of those people.
I heard a shout from a grown man say... You're not Jose, Damien. Well done. You've got him there. Like, what?
Like, Somebody else told him to get a haircut.
Yeah, the mad shouts.
And then there was, you're not in Stamford Bridge now, Duff.
Or
yeah, clearly we're not. You fucking...
I heard someone say, you have a toe out of the technical area. Oh, good man. You got him there.
Yeah, it's not great. Yeah, it was just weird stick, and I think that probably fueled the manager's celebrations at the end, I think. But that, coupled with just the manner of the performance, the guts, basically, to get the job done. But I think we haven't... Well, has the manager been that animated this season yet after a result? Or was that the first kind of...
I just feel like it's the manner of the result. Like, you've grinded out that result. You have people shouting stupid stuff behind you for 90 minutes. Go and celebrate. And that's exactly what he did. Like, it's nothing more, nothing less. Was it an animated celebration? Yeah, great, brilliant. It deserved it. It absolutely deserves an animated celebration. If you've gone there...
If he doesn't celebrate, he's miserable, dour, duffer. If he does celebrate, it's all about him.
It's great. Like, it's grand to celebrate, but like, it's only Sligo. Relax. You haven't won the, like, no one's saying we've won the league. No one's saying we've won anything. We've won a game. We want to celebrate winning the game. It's not that big of a deal.
The good old celebration police. Before we move on to the women's victory over Piemont, Ben, I do want to talk a couple of controversies over the weekend. It's all around refereeing, unfortunately. But the red card in our game. Thoughts? Now, let's be honest. No bias. No, you know, tell me what you saw.
I mean, I see a loose ball. You see two people going for it, and he catches them high. That is the reality of it. Like, would you be pissed off if that was given against you? Yeah, maybe. But on the other side of things, he does, like, the studs are up. He is high now.
It's a definite red. I couldn't believe. And while the game was going on, I was looking for the highlight. Usually somebody will have it up on Twitter or somewhere to watch back. And I just couldn't. The Sligo outrage, the bench and the crowd, like, lost their minds totally.
I just can't wait for the next statement. Sorry.
Grown men, man.
But like, look, do I see where they're coming from? Yeah, because they feel like the referees have something against them. But like, at the end of the day, it's a loose ball. Two people go for it. One of them ends up on the ground because the other one puts his studs in him. Well, you're getting a red card.
But the arguments were nonsense. The first one was, he slipped. All right, so let's just say he did slip. Then the next part was, oh, it was a follow through from the shot. So does that mean if I go to volley a ball, I can follow through and stick me studs in somebody's mush and then so, just say, oh, it was just a follow through. Sorry about that.
By that logic, I can flick a ball up at the edge of the box, drop kick someone in the face and say, I was going to shoot.
Yeah, like it's just... It's a bollocks argument. Now, I would say I don't think that ref was great either way. I think he gave some mad decisions.
Now, to be fair, on the night where we were sitting, you said that could be a harsh red.
Did I?
You did.
I was talking shite. I don't know what I was talking about.
You did. You turned around like, oh, I don't know. I didn't get a good look of it. Looked like you just slipped when he was shooting. And... You did get to see it on the way home and you completely took it back, so.
Jeez, I don't remember any of that. I need to lay off the monster, I think. Stuff's where I'd be better off having 8 cans and trying to drive than bleeding a can of monster. Messing me up. Don't remember anything. But yeah, it was a definite red. No doubt about it.
Obviously, dude, he's not going to do that, by the way.
Cans of Coke. Jeez, what do you think I am? Did you see Derry's red card?
That one I did not see. You'll have to explain for me.
It was a second yellow. So, ball kind of broke on the edge of the box and the Rovers players were, they weren't in a full-on counter-attack, but it was about halfway between the centre circle and the edge of the Rovers box. Rovers picked up possession and somebody, I don't know who it was starting to kind of drive forward. About to start a decent counter-attack. And your man clips him from behind. Gets a second yellow, sent off. I don't know, listeners might think of that one differently, but I couldn't see how that's not a yellow. Like it, and then you've all this, oh, it was two harsh yellows, like the two harsh. It doesn't matter. Two yellows makes a red. That's the way it is. It doesn't matter whether they're harsh or not. And then the best one, the most enjoyable one of Friday night, Ben, was the Drogheda disallowed goal.
Jesus Christ, that...
And the fallout.
The interview. Jesus Christ.
Look, for anyone that hasn't seen it...
Just watch
Cork,
it.
Yeah, Cork go to play out from the back with their two centre-halves like at the edge of the six-yard box. And the Drogheda player, as the keeper... It's actually weird because the centre-half knocks it into the keeper. So the game is on... Drogheda attacker runs in, blocks the keeper, and puts it in the net. Now, as it turned out, it was disallowed for encroachment, so the Drogheda fellow was inside the box. And everyone was saying, he wasn't inside the box, he was on the line. On the line is in the box, you dopes. Like, there should never be a ball on the edge of the box for a free kick. Because if the fellow was on the edge of the box, like on the white line, it should be a penalty. So... That's nonsense. The only gripe I'd have with that one was why they didn't stop the game straight away. Yeah, it seemed like he kind of let it go. It was like he was... I'd say if Cork played out past Warren Davis, they would have just let it play on. But it was just a weird... I don't know. What's that... what was that meme about all the VAR? Oh, good process, lads. Good process. It was one of them ones where just bleeding... Wave your flag straight away and stop the game so you don't end up stuck in that position. But the best part of it, go on.
Like, yes, it's called late, but at least it's called.
Yeah, true.
Like, credit where credit is due, I suppose. I'm kind of turning it to you, not one for referee bashing, but they did make the right call in the end.
Yeah, and people like are saying, but it was only a toe. It doesn't matter. That's irrelevant.
If you can be a toe offside now, you can be a toe in the box. So.
Yeah, exactly. But the best thing to come of it was And I'll jump the gun a bit here. He's getting my Richie Baker for this week's Kevin Doherty for one of the funniest manager meltdowns you'll ever see.
Well, there goes my Richie Baker.
Because he's so gentlemanly and mannerly in trying to cane the ref.
So polite in trying to tell everyone else to fuck off.
You can just see him having this battle in his head about, like, will I say it? Will I not say it? Will I say it? I'm going to say it. Oh, shit, no, I better not say it.
It's a very, very PG, I'm angry, Tony.
Yeah, it was. It was magic. Anyone that hasn't seen it, you need to go and watch Kevin Doherty's interview with Virgin Media after their game. It's so, so bloody funny. Right, Ben, on to Saturday. Another Dublin derby and another very, very, very important victory. Left it lay, 3 points nonetheless. Shells won, P-Mount nil. Kate Mooney penalty was enough. They needed that, really, didn't they?
Yeah, I think the win there is important. Especially when you consider results around the league, especially how it finished last year. Like, it is important to get those early wins. Now it's just a point between ourselves and Athlone, if I'm not mistaken. So, like, look, I know it's obviously early days. There's four games being played, but it's important to just have that pressure there, I think. And to be fair, I've seen a lot of people been like, oh, Jesus, we rode our luck a bit at times. Yeah, great. Ideal. We'll take it. I'd rather do that. There was chances in the game. I think we had the better chances. I think it was Noel Murray hit the crossbar. There was, a real edge to that game. It was a very feisty game. There was some very tough challenges in there, so more of that, keep that coming.
Yeah, the one challenge that wasn't overly aggressive in any way was Noel Murray's second yellow.
Yeah, now I am one for referee bashing here, because hell, that is absolutely ridiculous. Like, I feel like, I know it's, look, a bit harsh to say, but I feel like he didn't like Noel. You could see it from the first yellow. He was just giving out to her. And look, I'd say if you watch Noel play, you see she does she talks a lot on the pitch.
Oh, she's like a shithouse. There's no doubt about that. Let's call it what it is, Ben. I would like Noel to bide you a bit. That same kind of just cross over onto the line and something switches in the brain. Because some of the stuff, like, I think Noel Murray is one of the, technically, she's one of the best players in the league, if not the best. And she's also hilarious to watch, because, as you say, she is one of the biggest wind-up merchants.
She has grown, like, actual grown men in the stand, fully wound up. She has, like, opposition fully wound up. It's amazing to see. And she definitely had that ref wound up, because he looked so pissed off given the first yellow. That I feel like as soon as he saw another challenge that, look, the ball, again, the ball was there. She went for it, and she actually won the ball. And there didn't seem like too many protests around calling for a second yellow. There wasn't this big song and dance where someone's rolling around with their leg hanging off. Like, it wasn't that kind of challenge. It was a fairly tame challenge, all things considered, when you see the rest of the challenges in that game.
Nobody even, like, no female player or anything. And as you say, like, it's a feisty enough game as it is. Not one of the female players reacted to it. So that should surely tell you all you need to be told. But it did stink of he was dying to send her off. And that was enough in his mind to do so. There's obviously no game this week for the Women's Premier Division side. It's the international break. Speaking of international break, Ben, Eavian Clancy, nominated for Player of the Month in the league and an international call-up for the Nations League game against Greece. What a couple of weeks.
I mean, come to shells and all the good stuff starts happening.
It's no coincidence, is it?
No.
Most definitely no coincidence.
All credit, she's had a really good start, and it's, again, well-earned plaudits. And it's great to have another red and green.
Yeah, add her to a long list, Ben. Add her to the list.
A very long list.
Yeah, as I say, there is no game this week. The women's national team are in action against Greece and the UAE in the Nations League. So, a week off, probably not the best time for it. But look,
no, but
it has to happen.
It's a big game, I think, when we come back. Is it Bows Away?
Yeah, Bows Away is the first game back, which Noelle will miss, obviously, and I know she particularly enjoys that game.
But that's the game I think I have marked on my calendar. It's one I'm looking forward to. Just hoping we can do the job. Obviously, we'll preview it a bit closer to the time.
That we will. Just on the women's game on Saturday, Michael was on asking about the pitch during the women's game. The pitch has been sanded. Obviously, if you were either at the game or you were watching on LOI TV, it's just something that has to be done. It had to be done at some point in the season. Look, it all worked out in the end. 3 points on probably, that would probably be the worst the pitch will be for the year, hopefully. So,
yeah, I actually had someone who, look, I won't name names, but from an opposition message, a picture of the pitch, being like, what's the story here? I'm like, it's very clearly being sanded. You work in football, are you dim? that was my reply. And he was like, oh yeah, okay, it's not looking great. I'm like, okay, I take the point on board, but last week we played on the surface of the moon. This week we went to Sligo, and that pitch was as bad as our pitch has been.
Oh, the pitch was absolute shit in Sligo.
So, here, it might look good on your cameras, on the telly, but cut up like shite and wasn't great. But yeah, I think the pitch got a bit of unnecessary stick. As you said, it has to happen. We're coming into the time of the year where hopefully pitches around the country are going to be a lot better and everyone can find something else to moan about, I suppose.
and that they will. On to Instagram and comments. And as always, get in touch. Don't be shy. If it's too long to fit in the question box, just do what Jordan Riley always does and send me a message instead if it's easier. I'm pretty sure I can't say.
They're always open, I suppose.
Yes.
That's important.
I'm always afraid to read this fella's name out because I don't think it's appropriate, but he'll know who he is. And he said, I just want to say that Kerr McEnroy is the goal. Not really going to argue with that.
No.
Shells fan said, John Martin is what Duff teams are all about. Work hard and achieve. He always pops up with the goods. Like, that's the other thing. I'd hate for John Martin to get labelled as this just kind of workhorse. Like, he's popped up with some very important goals for us.
Yeah,
he really has.
A lot of stinking 1-0s. Pretty sure last season, John Martin on his own won us 9 points.
He did, didn't he? And were they all in 1-0s, actually?
Pretty sure they were, yeah.
They're the ones. That was 9 points. Like, they all add up in the end. Ken Murray said, a professional performance. Second half wasn't pretty, but we dug in and got our just reward. And I think I seen a stat that we completed less than 20 passes in the opposition half. Or in the opposition's final third in the second half. That's fairly worrying if true. I
wouldn't be worried.
No, I wouldn't be worried, but you definitely want the ball to stick better.
Yeah.
And just to be able to grab control of it a little bit more. Saturday or Friday was just one of those games where
you just get through it.
Yeah, there was no real rhyme or reason to any of it, I didn't think. It's just a bit of a mad game overall. Kyle said, good win and ready for Pats away. We're going to come to Pats now. Mark Massey, a massive win, plenty of confidence going into the Pats game. And it's gas. A wise man, Ben, once told me, the question box will be packed when we don't win. But when we win, less people will want to be in touch. And it's very true. Damien O'Reilly on Twitter said, should we be concerned about the form of Ellis Chapman? Or is it just a case of lacking match sharpness due to getting a full preseason? I'll let you start with that one, Ben.
I think it's very early to be worried about anyone. I think Ellis himself would probably be disappointed with the start. I don't think he's done as well as he might have hoped, but you can see it in his game. He is just a little bit behind in match sharpness and match fitness. He's just, sometimes he finds himself second to loose balls, and it is just a case of where I think he just missed a good chunk of that preseason and he's just a little bit behind everyone else. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think that's understated sometimes how important the preseason is. Like, it obviously happened to John Martin when he signed for us as well, where John's very first training session, he got injured and didn't play for a long time after that. So, not easy. It doesn't help the bedding in process. Like, there was a good example of it on Friday. We kind of broke away and he had loads of space in front of him and he was kind of driving and driving and driving, but just looked a bit unsure of kind of what to do. And that just comes with playing more. You know, the more game time you get, the more fluid everything becomes. I wouldn't be concerned. Anyone who's seen Ellis Chapman last year, like, there's a serious, serious footballer in there. Has it come out fully yet? No, but I would have every confidence that it will eventually. Pats, Ben. This is one of those games now that I don't really enjoy the build-up to anymore, because yeah, they're definitely the loudest fan base on social media that there is.
Yeah, they're kind of... See, Bows are terrible at football now, so... Well, they've been terrible for a while, but they're a little bit quieter because of results on the pitch, and I think Pats have... They get a few wins under their belt, and they're God's gift. It's just... They're so... They're just irritating.
Yeah,
It's like... It's genuine. It's like, you know, when you were a kid and you had family over and your little cousin is there and like, can I play the PlayStation? You give them the controller that's turned off.
Yeah, yeah.
That annoying little kid that just wants to be there.
Yeah, we'll entertain you, but like, we'll pretend we really don't like you, but we don't really care.
Yeah.
It'd be a difficult game. There's some really, really good players in that Pats group. They obviously pulled the result out of fire on Friday, 2 goals in 5 minutes down in Waterford, which, as we've seen, is a difficult place to go. It will be a very, very difficult game, but we've had some great moments in Inchicore over the last couple of years, so you'd be hoping for more. No Boydie, so I would presume that will lead to Meepo and John Martin again.
Yeah, I mean, we tried to predict starting 11s and we both looked absolutely idiotic.
Well, if ever anyone wanted proof that we know nothing that you don't know, Friday was the perfect example. Because I'm pretty sure we both had Paddy Barrett and Gano in our teams. So,
yeah,
there you have it. But what do you do? Do you go with that team that finished... Or that started the game Friday? Like, I don't know, will there be a change of shape? It's hard to know.
I think it just comes down to you watch Pats, you see how they play, and then you have to see how everyone does in training, I suppose. I think you see what kind of week everyone has had. I don't envy the manager at all having to pick, because some really informed players, so you couple that with maybe one or two that could get back from Knox. Like, it's a headache I wouldn't want to have, but a good one.
Yeah, the old cliche. Not really else to add. Actually, sorry, the Voice of Reason did send me a message, which I should read out because he's generally very reasonable. A dogged performance, a big mental victory. Shout out to John Martin. What a performance. He doesn't get the recognition he deserves. An absolute workhorse. Pretty much everything we've covered so far. But I agree with what he says about a big mental win. Like, there's no question now that the bit of grit and the bit of anger and the bit of nastiness is still there.
Yeah, I think people, based on maybe the start, maybe the few results, kind of forgot the team we were, the team we are, the team we're built on, and I think that performance, that result just shows it's still there. Don't be worrying.
100%. There was one more. Alex actually asked, Would we consider Galway to be title contenders? I 100% would.
You'd have to. Like, say what you will about Galway.
Galway are Shelburne and everyone.
They absolutely are. I think they're doing it a little bit better somehow.
Well, it's nastier.
Yeah.
There's less... I think there's less deviating away from the plan than what we would have had. Like, there were games we had where we would play and, like, we scored some really good kind of technical goals. No, not that Galway won't, but, I mean, like, their second goal was a cracker on Friday. Keeper was probably a bit iffy, but who cares? But the first goal, like, is classic Galway stuff. But I definitely... They are a dangerous, dangerous team. And the way things are at the moment... They're the team I'd be the most worried playing against.
Yeah, like I can't see anyone being able to go to M&DC Park and turn them over.
No, they're bastards, best way of putting it. Ben, anything to add?
A few Richie rankings.
Well, I've given my Richie Baker away. It does go to Kev Doherty just because he's a terribly nice man who really, really wanted to lift the referees out of it but just couldn't bring himself to do it. So I'll give you my Richie Winter before we go on. It's the Sligo PA announcer. Purely for the fact, when he was reading out the teams, it was as if it was the first time he'd ever looked at a team sheet in his life. He had a couple of very lame efforts at player names.
His effort at saying Meepo was particularly funny.
Meepo Adebiko is not a difficult name to say, Ben.
No, but it is.
It's really not.
Adam Amuiko Beko. Yeah,
it didn't make any sense. It didn't even nearly resemble the way the man like spells his name.
Smash his head off the microphone. That's the sound that came out.
And it's the same. Like, I know the Dundalk announcer always says Tyreeky.
Tyreeky.
Where do they get this stuff from? I just don't know.
Brian, you don't have to hear that.
It's a minor moan, but a moan nevertheless. Hit us with your Richie rankings, Ben.
Dude, I'm going to be nice with my Richie Baker. I'm going to give it to someone who, to be fair, I do give a decent bit of stick to. Dude, I'm going to give it to you, actually.
Ah, fuck off, Ben.
Mainly because you hate praise and you squirm under it, so... Just kind of want to see his score. But to be fair to you, you have put in a shift. This is your third podcast in 7 days. So one of them as well, you had to stop halfway through and restart.
Oh, it was grim.
Because editing that goes into it, like, there's unseen hours. And to be fair to you, you'd never actually give out about them. You just get your head down and do them. So... This week and this week only, unless you do something mad in the future that deserves it, you are my Richie Baker.
Well, I'm sweating sitting here. I'm just going to bleep this out. You're going to look like an idiot now when I edit this to just say, right, Ben, give us your Richie Baker, and it's just silence, and then you move on to the Richie Winter. Now, come on, give me the good stuff, your Richie Winter.
That fella with the bag picking up the bottles in Sligo.
Ah, he was a dick.
He was a goon. Just for context, we were waiting around to do the interviews. There was this lad walking around picking up the bottles and the rubbish.
He got ticked with me first because it's a weird thing that I do. I don't know why I do it. I've always done it. But I'd usually throw... There's always like bottles and tape and stuff like that left in the dugout. And I'd usually grab it and just fuck it into the bin. Just because, like... Nice to be nice. Nice to uphold the reputation of the club in some kind of way if you can. And I always do it. And I was chatting and just hadn't got a chance to do it yet. And he came over with his black bag. And he says, I suppose I'll clean up after ye. I was like, here, give us the bag. Like, it's grand, I'll do it. So I did, threw a few bottles in. He didn't even thank me, which pissed me off a bit, but that was grand. And then as he was walking off, he said to me, and I have a get well soon card in there for Mark Coyle, obviously alluding to the red card. I felt like saying to him, mate, the game's been over about 40 minutes. Will you fucking relax?
A grown man.
Oh, just I've no time for people like that. It annoys me.
That was fine, but he actually got worse because the manager did his interviews and he walks off and the same man shouts, "What's up with the celebrations, Damien?" and just starts abusing them for no reason.
Yeah, I thought John Martin was going to lose the plot because that happened just as the manager had finished his post-match, so he was walking off the pitch. I was coming out of dugout with John Martin to do his post-match, and it was this kind of weird crossover, like John Martin dropped the bag, and I was like, oh no, here, don't need this hassle. I just said to John, here, come on, you have an interview to do. Get out of here. But it comes back to that weird thing, like the manager gets stick off everyone. That's grand. Like, I think it's kind of expected in a way. Like, I don't really think the manager's bothered by stick. Like, he played in the Premier League for not a very popular football club, so I'm sure he's had his fair share of stick in his time. There's obviously sometimes a line gets crossed, which I totally understand. But if you're getting abuse on the touchline for 90 minutes and, like, are you not entitled to give a bit back? And they're not abused. It's not as if the manager's turned around saying, ah, you're all a big bunch of wankers. Like, he just kind of, he'll wind people up a little bit. Like, we've seen it away to Pats. We've seen it in Daily Mail. Like, just, what's the problem? I would totally expect, like, is there any manager that everyone hates other than our manager in the league tomorrow? No. Probably not, actually. Tim Clancy, actually, he'd get a good bit of stick just because he choked the child. Back in the day. But, like,
Jesus Christ,
if we were giving him stick for an entire game and they scored a last minute winner or hung out for a dramatic win, I would fully expect them to give the big one to the Riverside. Fully expect
them to.
He's
entitled to celebrate.
Exactly.
He celebrated in the dugout with his staff and his players and ran straight over to the away fans. Let the man celebrate. If he's robotic and walks off, people are like, geez, he didn't even celebrate that win. If he celebrates that win, he's the worst person in the world. But I think it's very embarrassing for Sligo to have a lad walking around, picking up bottles, abusing the opposition manager.
Yeah, it's very weird. It's very, very weird. Just actually for context on that Tim Clancy comment there, that could be picked up in isolation and look really bad. There's context to that. When we won the league in 2019, the first division that being, and we got promoted, Tim Clancy was doing an interview on the pitch after the game. Whoever decided that was a good idea in the midst of a pitch invasion, I don't know, but that's neither here nor there. Basically, a lot of the influence went over and were kind of not jumping on his back, but they were behind him, giving it the big one to the camera, as you'd expect. And yeah, he choked the child. So that's the context on that one, just in case anyone isn't familiar.
Dude, we learned these words last week now.
That's fact. That's a fact. It's on camera. I mean, there's no defense to that. It's literally on camera.
Okay.
So, yeah. Anyway, that took a weird turn.
Is there anyone else you want to fire shots at before we go, or you just... anyone else do want to annoy you? So, we've had the referee for the women's game. We have the bottle fella. We have the PA announcer. Is there anyone else in Sligo actually that annoyed you? The fella who got your order wrong twice now. So that's...
he was just a fucking dope. I just don't know how people make mistakes like that. I really don't.
Do your job, Roy Keane, over here.
Actually, that's a fucking poxy services, now that I think of it. That one in Kinnegad. Because we're on the way back. And the usual stuff, we obviously get out of the ground a bit later. So we usually stop off for, you know, it's usually a can of Monster for me if I'm driving. Or we get a few little treats or whatever for the way home.
Like and wagon wheel.
And a litre of milk. But there's usually, there was a massive sign at that services that said, open for walk-in 24 hours a day. So we pulled up and we're like, happy days in here. Fucking English show. You had to go up to the hatch.
There was a fella in front of us who went up to the hatch and he was waiting there for about 5 minutes and no one came. Their man eventually came. He's like, can I come in? And he was like, no, it's just the hatch. Do you want that? No, I'm okay. Thanks, love, to another grown man. And he just walked off. So I'd say that was a very, very tired truck driver, more than likely, who just wanted a tea.
That's one of those weird ones where you tell, like, the waitress, like, she'll say, I hope you enjoy your meal, and you'll say, oh, yeah, you too. And then you just die. Like, I'd fester at home now thinking about that. If I called another a grown man love, I think I'd, oh, that'd keep me awake at night now. Definitely would.
And on that note.
Yeah, yeah. We're way on a tangent here. Ben, thank you very, very much for your time, as always.
Pleasure is mine.
And we'll see everyone in Ninja Corner Friday.
Thanks for listening to the 1895 Podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne FC, Dublin's finest since 1895. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on Apple or Spotify, and subscribe now to never miss a new episode.